Good morning and welcome to the Mind of a Football Coach podcast. Today we have Coach Wood on the podcast. Coach, welcome.
Thank you. Honored to be with you.
Yeah, Coach, for the listeners who don't know who you are and what Buford football is, please give a little background and we'll go from there.
Well, Buford football, we're a small community on the northeast part of Atlanta, about 40 miles out. I came here almost 29 years ago as a small single-A school. Yeah, with about 300 students. Here we are now, a 7A, class 7A school with right at 2,000 students. So we've moved up through seven classifications during my tenure here. I spent the first 10 years as the head football coach. 5 years in, also became the athletic director. And after 10 years here and 31 years as a head coach, I retired and have remained as the athletic director here. No longer the head athletic director. I'm more of a athletics advisor, mentor, and ambassador for our school system and our athletic program now. But still, go to the school building every day and enjoy every minute of it.
Coach, that is awesome. What made you want to be a coach? And then what were your core philosophies and principles about while being a coach? And what made you want to keep doing it for all this time? Because that's so cool.
Yeah. Well, I was greatly influenced and shaped by my experience as a football player at University of Alabama for Coach Paul Bear Bryant. Mm-hmm. Here I am entering my senior year there with a business major and not the least bit interested in doing that. I'd had the opportunity of the previous couple of summers to work with youth, one at a boys ranch in Mississippi, another one through a church in Gadsden, Alabama, and I loved young people, and I felt like I had been gifted maybe in some way to connect, communicate, influence, and shape young people. And so about that time, for whatever reason, here I am about March or April of my senior year, and the most influential meeting I've ever had in my career, I decided to go ask Coach Bryant about going into coaching. And he wasn't very verbal, but the two or three things he shared with me that day, you know, kind of set me out to who I am and what we've done in our athletic programs wherever I've been through all these years. And the first thing he told us, he said, son, don't go into coaching unless you can't live without it. And I didn't quite understand that. Obviously, I hadn't coached at the point. I didn't know if I could live without it or not. I was going to have to experience that. Later on, as I look back, I know what he was saying. He said, don't go to coaching unless it's a calling. And so I have really felt like that I was called to the great position of leading young men through the avenue of coaching and athletics, mainly football. And I've been gifted with it, and I've been empowered by it, and I've been able to do that. So that's been a great source that I'm called to do this, and I'm made for this. And then he said, then if you decide to do it, just remember two things. Number one, always surround yourself with great people, people better than you. And I think really the story of my journey, wherever I've been very intentional about jobs that I take and about people that I employ and people that I work with, that they're great people, that they're better than me, and I'm a part of the process with them. And you know, we can talk about who are those kind of people you want on your bus if we want to get into that. So that's been the key. And then secondly, he said, always have a plan. Well, being a type A personality, all that kind of fit me. I always like to have a plan and study and love the cerebral part of coaching athletics. So I took those three principles at a young age 23, became a head coach within a year out of college. And I've kind of run with those three principles most of my life. That's kind of what got me into it. Those first couple of years, I didn't understand what it was all about. I was just kind of experimenting, but I did understand then what he said. Don't go into it unless you can't live without it. And it was in my blood and has been.
Yeah, I think any coach would say amen to all that.
Yeah.
I mean, we just can't live without it. That we are called to do this. I feel like I'm called to do this by the Lord, like you were talking about. And so, Coach, talk about that. Talk about what kind of people you want to surround yourself with. I've heard people say that, but I haven't heard somebody willing to go into that. Like, what are you looking for when you're looking to hire people and bring people on board your team?
Yeah, Zach, I think it's so critical. And I've really studied that and refined it, and we're always growing in that area. What I've most often used is really the school bus analogy. And it goes like this. You get the right people on the bus. That's important. Who are the right people? And I think that's what you're asking, and I'll come back to that. But once you get the right people on the bus, I think you got to get them in the right seat. And sometimes evaluating our staffs and the people we work with and where their strengths are, and do we empower them and do we get them in the right seats? And I've got a lot of great stories about how I move people around and you know, their skills and, you know, contributions to our program just took off because I had them in the wrong seat. And then sometimes with the school bus analogy, you got to get the wrong people off, whether that's maybe staff, whether that's players, whether that's people you're working with, whatever. And those are the hard decisions of life. But going back to the first, getting the right people on the bus, who are the right people you want on your bus? I don't know how many years ago it was, but somewhere at a coaching clinic, I heard a coach talk about that all great people, all great leaders aspire to master the three C's of leadership. And that's competency, connection, and character. And I've really kind of used that model in evaluating who I work with and who I want on my bus. You start with the competency piece. You want somebody that obviously knows what they're doing, but they're in the process of getting better in that competency piece. And if I'm interviewing and working with people, how hungry are you to get better? How competent are you? I would always tell our coaches, we may get out-talented, we're going to get beat at times, but we don't want to ever come off that field feeling like we've ever been out-coached. So competency will be our standard. We will strive to be the best prepared in anything we do. But the second piece is just as important, and that's connection, because most kids don't care how much you know, do they know how much you care? And you've got to know that kids got buttons, and you got to get to know them, you got to develop relationships with them. And most kids will still play for their coach. We coach players, not plays. I always tell coaches that. And so you are coaching kids. And so your connection piece with them, and the great, great coaches I go, got the competency piece, but boy, they know how to translate it and communicate it and connect with their kids. And for me, the third piece has been real important because of my calling, because of the priority of values and character development and loving and caring about kids. I want men and women in our athletic program of great character. They know their mission. They know who they are. They know their why. And if they don't know their real purpose in coaching, and that's to make a difference in kids' lives, to impact them for eternity, both now and forever, we're not going to miss that. And I'm not going to sacrifice a competency connection piece for somebody whose character they're searching for or struggling with. So that's kind of who I want on my bus.
Yeah, that sounds like a good bus right there, is what I'm hearing.
You can run with that.
You can run with that one. And
the analogy is you get those pieces on and you can take that bus wherever you want.
Absolutely. So what was your philosophy of football? Talking offense, defense, special teams. What did you really, you know, what did you focus on when you were building those parts of the actual football side of it? What were your things on that side?
Yeah. Well, Zach, it probably didn't fit modern football. You got to realize that I grew up a long time ago. And again, going back to my Alabama days, I was greatly influenced by the philosophy there. And really, my 31 years as a head coach, my philosophies were not very complicated. And it was based on probably still what great football teams do these days. And our priority was we were going to play great defense. And even when I was in small level football, my best players were always going to be on defense. They weren't going to come off the field. Maybe the quarterback, maybe the tailback, but everybody else. And if I had to rotate them or whatever, our best players were always going to be the defense. And then when I went to hire staff, my number one staff was always going to be that defensive coach, that defensive coordinator, because we were going to play great defense. And so that was important. Secondly, special teams, we weren't going to beat ourselves. We were going to try to make plays. And we were really, really good on special teams. Where it was blocking punts, returning kicks, covering, we were just really solid and rarely beat ourselves with the kicking game. And then on offense, it was pretty simple. I was always my own offensive coordinator. I played wide receiver in college, so that gave me an inclination of working with quarterbacks and receivers. but it was run the football. We were going to run the football. And because of great defense and running the football, we felt like our hedgehog. We always tried to be better than everybody else at the line of scrimmage, both offensive line and defensive line, which fit who we were. We were going to stop the run on defense, and on offense, we were going to run the football. And so that, schematically, that's what we worked toward, and really the priority of our practice schedule. Two things always fit into putting all that together for me. I always believed, and believe it to this day, that most huge games are lost than are won, that most teams beat themselves. And so before you can win, you got to keep from beating yourself. So the number one priority for anything we ever did, we're going to be the most disciplined football team. We are not going to beat ourselves. And in big games, when big plays are needed, because of our discipline and because of our intangibles of effort and toughness and doing those kind of things, we won a lot of those big games just on that simple premise. And so we worked hard at practice about eliminating turnovers and creating turnovers and avoiding stupid penalties and, you know, playing hard with those five or six big plays that could win a game. So that's kind of a thumbnail sketch of what we believed in and kind of how we worked our program.
That is awesome, Coach. And I think that still works to this day. I mean, especially in high school, and then you watch Michigan win the national championship with those core principles this year. I think it's beautiful. I mean, to me, football is a physical, tough game. I'm a former offensive lineman myself.
Yeah.
And about 80 pounds ago. But, but you know, I think that's where it's won and lost. And, yeah, and that's so cool because I feel like as I watch – when I get on YouTube and I watch football, that's what I do. I watch football. And I watch Buford football throughout the years. I feel like that's still Buford football. And I think what you built there is still what Buford is doing. And that's just a huge testament to yourself, Coach. That's so cool.
Zach, it has been. You know, we've been blessed. We've played through all these classifications with this exact philosophy. I was the head coach for 10 years, and then I passed the baton to my longtime assistant, Jeff Simpson. He was the head coach for 12 years here. He continued that same philosophy. In 2004, the year I retired, I hired a young coach named Brian Appling. He worked for me a year, but then he worked for Jess Simpson for those 12 years, and now he's our head coach. So for these 28, 29 years, we've had the same folks, same philosophy, same structure, and so we do still believe in all of those core principles and philosophy of schemes and practices and everything that we did 28 years ago. And it, to some people, it's dinosaur. You know, back in my day, a 14-7 game was a beautiful game. And although I think we've evolved a little bit offensively, and this year we had to, you know, we had some great, that messed up, quarterback and receivers there. There we go. And so anyway, nothing's changed here basically for 28 or 30 years.
Which is a beautiful thing, Coach. That's awesome. And Mr. Joseph's going to join us this morning in a little bit. He was.
That's great. But you're right. I love that Michigan championship run that they made because that's exactly that kind, that style of football can still win. It may not sell a lot of tickets because everybody wants to say a great offense, but great defense, offense, or line of scrimmage play, not beating yourselves, being physical, still wins football games. And that's what we live and die on here at Buford.
Absolutely. And you were telling me you guys have morning workouts in the morning before school. Is that something that you started there and this continued to happen?
We have a period there, 5 or 6 weeks, starting about now, when we do bring them in. You know, I got in here about 5:30 this morning. We had a pretty good group in here this morning. Yeah.
Okay. That's awesome. So is that so like winter conditioning?
Yeah. And then our physical education is structured so that first period is all of our football players, grades 10 through 12. So if we get here an hour before school and then an hour into that class, we got a couple hours in every morning there with them, all in the weight room or in any kind of conditioning, speed improvement, all those kind of things that we want to do. Mm-hmm.
That's so cool. And then after school, what time do y'all get out of school there?
We get out at about 2:50. So that leaves us a pretty good afternoon to work. School starts about 7:35, 7:40, and we're out at 2:50. In the off season, you know, we're still small school enough, although 2,000 students is pretty big. Some of our better players, most of our skilled people are going to run track. There's a couple of them in basketball. A few of them play baseball. And so we certainly encourage those guys to do that. And but those that aren't in it, we'll get into our speed improvement and development drills after school sessions later on when it warms up here in a little while.
Yeah, you were saying it's in the teens there today.
We'll be later today, yeah, and tonight.
That's awesome. I was like,
you guys, right?
There's like almost 6 inches of snow outside today. So that's
cool. Wow, that's crazy.
it's a good time. So, Coach, what does your day today look? What does your day today schedule look like these days? What are you doing?
Well, I'm senior advisor for athletics, and so my day to day is totally flexible. I feel like at this stage of life, my main role is to be an encourager and to be available as an advisor. And hardly a day goes by that a coach is not wanting to sit down a few minutes with me. I have some intentional meetings. I meet with our head football coach once a week. He meets with me an hour once a week and any other time he wants to. Our in-sports coaches, my boys and girls basketball coaches, my swim coach, my wrestling coach, I make those rounds every morning. Most of the time, I have seen them play the night before, the day before, the weekend before, and I'll just point out a couple things. Coach, man, that number whatever, boy, he just busted his tail. Encourage them, and then just be available. You know, obviously, coaches have to work through obstacles and issues, and there's not many landmines that I have not stepped on in 51 years of doing this. And so sometimes my wisdom can help them get the ox out of the ditch, so to speak. And that's kind of my role right now. But I do come to the school building every morning. Now, I'm usually gone by lunch. But then I'll come back in the afternoon for a practice. Or tonight we've got basketball games. I'll be at the basketball games tonight. So it's a great stage of life for me.
Yeah, that is so cool to hear this, because it's something I want to coach and be in education my whole life. I don't really plan on retiring. You know, I guess you can retire in the teacher system in public school, but I just want to keep working. And talk about that drive for you. Like, what gets you up? I mean, obviously you love to coach, love to be around kids, be around coaches, but what's getting you up now? Is it more developing people? Is that kind of what's getting you up and going in the morning?
Yeah, I think we all thrive on relationships. We've got such a good culture of people here. Most of them I've had a hand in employing here. Obviously, we've hired some new people, and I've got a day-to-day athletic director that I help with. And I guess just what drives me is the fact that I'm still contributing. I think leadership is influence. There's not many committees I don't serve on here when we're hiring a superintendent or principal, and I've seen a bunch of them come through here, and I've been a part of that. And again, taking those principles of getting the right people on the bus, I think in our town, in our overall school system, our athletic program, we're all together. And that's such a strength for an athletic program. If the people above you know and support, they're at our activities, they know who we are, they're going to support us financially with what we need, with getting the right people. We just have the right culture from top to bottom here. And that makes it fun to go to work every day.
Yeah, I can only imagine. That's really cool. That just what you guys have built there, what you've built there. What a wonderful place. When I've coached in Georgia for 2 years, Buford was the gold standard, and that's a big testament to you, Coach, and what you guys have done there. We came and played y'all in JV, and I was just blown away by the JV facilities and how those. I just thought it was so cool.
Yeah, I tell people, watch out. Some people will ask, what's your secret sauce? What has made Buford for 20 plus years somewhat of a gold standard in football and athletics here? And, you know, I don't know if there is a secret sauce. There's several things I think we try to do better. But one of the keys is we're an independent city school system, meaning we're the only high school, and we have a Buford City Schools and a Buford City government that support us. And our city government has been run so well, and they support us, and they do so much for us. We're building a $64 million football stadium right across the street right now. We have facilities second to none. The athletic supplements for my coaches. One of our great things that we strive for is to get good people and keep them. Now, if they want to move on to be head coaches and all that, great, but most of them choose to stay here to raise their families. So, I mean, I've got athletic staff that have been here as long as me. So if you keep that consistency over years and keep that culture, it just continues to grow. And So obviously we're in 7A football and it's a bigger challenge, and we play people just as talented as us, and we haven't won one 2 years in a row, and everybody wonders what's wrong with us. So we're trying to get back there.
Yeah, Coach, that's got to be tough because you built such a – y'all built such a program there. But that's okay. High expectations are a good thing.
You better believe.
You've obviously have accepted that.
Yes, yes. I think a thing, too, that really drives us, and I'm talking about my city, government, my school system, administration, all our schools, particularly here in high school and athletic program, is we use the word excellence. In fact, it's a part of our mission statement. We strive for AAA excellence, excellence in academics, excellence in the arts, excellence in athletics. And if you study that word excellence for us, it means it's pursuing the best version of yourself. It's not success pointing your finger out there trying to beat an opponent. It's the best version of yourself on a daily basis. Are you getting better? Are you maximizing your potential? It's not rocket science. John Wooden in his Pyramid of Success basically said, what is success? It's reaching your full potential. And that's what we preach. You know, we don't talk about having to beat an opponent. The opponent is ourselves. If we play Buford football, we play to our standard of these principles we're talking about and pursuing excellence and practice every day in the way we carry ourselves competently, connected-wise and character-wise. If we're improving you as an individual person and player every day, then all those other things will take care of themselves.
Amen, Coach. You're preaching. Are you a pastor, Coach?
I can go to preaching.
I thought you would have been a great pastor too, as well, Coach.
Well, I do love to teach and lead, and you know that's funny you say that, because after I had that meeting with Coach Brian, I was debating going into coaching or going into ministry, and so I look back and you know what, I really did choose to go into ministry. It's just athletic ministry.
Absolutely, you did, Coach. That's awesome. Coach, thank you for coming on and doing this with me this morning. I really appreciate this. You're such a busy man.
Yeah, I look forward to following up with you. This has been an honor to do this.
Yeah, it's awesome, Coach. I'm sure we'll continue to text, and I just appreciate your friendship and your wisdom that you give to me so freely.
Super. God bless your journey as a father, husband, and mainly as a coach and leader there too, okay?
Absolutely, Coach. Thank you very much.
Bye.